We opened talking a little bit about what we miss amidst the corona pandemic. Some of us who arrived a bit earlier, we had a short chat on that. And someone asked me what I miss. I miss normal. I miss the ability to make a plan and to be reasonably sure that you can carry that plan out, like a men's retreat or a wedding, hypothetically speaking. Maybe pastors are supposed to have some kind of otherworldly peace at all times, but COVID has been throwing me off, and so I find myself feeling more restless, more like caged, and just like I need to just get out, but I can't go anywhere. And I think it's not just maybe a pastor who thinks maybe that I should be having more peace, but I think maybe as a Christian, I could feel that as well. Like if you're a Christian or not, you know, 5 weeks of quarantine, your nerves are going to be high, right? If you're a Christian or not, when you think about getting COVID, we can fear and be concerned about our health. And if you're a Christian or not, you can fear, I don't know if I have enough steam for this thing. Like, it's going to keep going. And I don't know if I can continue to carry on the way things have been. And I had a friend the other day, and he was talking about kind of the his fear about his own faith. If there are so many cracks in his faith that maybe Jesus would discard him. And sometimes I look at my own faith and I can say, is there something missing in the foundation? Maybe people have something that I don't have. And I had friends who had a crack in the foundation of their house, and it went on for some time. They finally got someone to look at it, and they ended up needing to sell their house for far less than they paid for it because they couldn't afford to fix the cracks that were in the foundation. So cracks in the foundation of the house, of a faith, that can be a serious thing. And so we're going to look at some of the cracks in the foundation of Peter's faith. So we're going to focus on Peter this morning. We're going to look at John 21 in God's word. But before we do, I'd like us to pray. Let's pray. God, I don't like cracks in the foundation of my faith. I want a solid faith for you in this world. I want a solid faith in you. And I know that's what each one of us wants. But we pray that you would use Peter's example today to help us understand what to do with these cracks and how to deal with them, and how you treat us with these cracks. So just help us understand Peter. Help us to really get inside his mind and his heart, and in doing so, to understand your heart. I pray for each person here that you would open their heart to see truth from your word that maybe they hadn't seen before, and to see your heart maybe in a way that they hadn't seen before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in our Bible passage, before we read, you can open to John 21 if you have a Bible, but we read there's so much uncertainty and fear. You know, Jesus had just died, and so there's certainly these stress cracks right now in their faith. Some of the disciples had reported to seeing Jesus, like they said they'd actually seen him, and they reported back to the other disciples, Jesus told us to go up to the mountain in Galilee, so to go to the mountain. And so resurrected Jesus or not, being seen with someone at that time claiming to be Jesus 2.0 could cost you your life. So this is my sense of what's happening here. So doubtful and scared, they kind of do their own thing, and we'll read about it in a sec. Rather than go to the mountain, Our scene opens with Peter saying to his friends, let's go fishing. In other words, let's not expose ourselves right away to in some kind of public place. Let's do a bit of a almost a quarantine, pre-COVID style. So there's a sense back to the old life before Jesus. We were on a big adventure, but Jesus is dead. It's over now. Let's keep a low profile. Let's go fishing. Even though the reports that they were told to go to the mountain in Galilee. So let's read God's word. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And then there's this text where the craziest thing happens. Jesus appears to them with fish and chips on the shore, and it's an amazing encounter. And then Jesus turns, and we're gonna focus on these verses 15 to 17. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So Peter leads the gang. I'm going fishing. I want to be careful here, but I don't see much faith in these guys when they first go off fishing. But you need to be careful, right? Because Peter and his friends, they gave up everything to follow Jesus. Like today in Canada, we don't need to do that, right? But they gave up house, car, family vacation every 6 years. They gave up their reputation. They gave up everything, right? In today's equivalent, right? And Peter in particular, I picture him kind of like a redheaded New York City cop or something whose allegiance, it was from, cleaning up the bad business, the streets in Harlem, to being about the business of his Lord. Like Peter's a rough and tumble kind of guy. Like he's always the first, right? Whenever there are things that that Jesus is inviting his friends to do. And remember Peter's the one who took out a sword and started swinging when a small army came to arrest and crucify his Lord. So Peter's a pretty tough guy. But now he's off on a boat with his friends. And Peter, I've often wondered what you said on the boat to your friends. I've often wondered, Peter, did you just talk about the weather? Did you tell your friends that as Jesus was being wrongfully accused, you ditched him when a servant girl asked you, are you with that man? Is he your friend? I wonder if you tell your friends on the boat that night before you had breakfast with them. I wonder if you tell your friends on the boat the details of the three times that you betrayed Jesus. Or did you say, yeah, it was tough, I took hits? What did you say, Peter, to your friends that night? The text doesn't say. The text does say Jesus appeared on the shore while they're fishing. He appears not with a whip, but with breakfast. It's a big deal. It says a lot to those of us who feel like, you right now are failing as a disciple. Jesus shows up after these disciples have failed, after they ditch him, not with a whip, but with breakfast. And so this is an after breakfast conversation. Jesus asks three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter says three times, I love you, I love you, I love you. And you wonder, why does Jesus ask three times? Like, it seems almost like it's overkill. Like Jesus is rubbing Peter's nose in what he did. Don't do it again, Peter. Jesus knows these guys' tendency to kind of look over their shoulder at one another. So, like, Jesus, like, do you need to do this to Peter, like, in front of the guys? Like, do you need to do it in public? Like, you kind of wonder, right? And so Jesus doesn't ask Peter once, do you love me, but three times. And it's going back to the three times that Peter denied Jesus and demonstrated that he didn't fully love Jesus. And so I want to look at each of these times, because each time he asks differently. So the first time, do you love me more than these? John 21, verse 15. Remember, before he denied Jesus three times, Peter claimed to love Jesus more than the other disciples did. This is Matthew 26, 33. You will all betray me, Jesus said. And then Peter says, even if all will fall away, I never will. So now Jesus says, do you really love me more than all, more than these? And Peter says, you know that I love you. In other words, no, I don't love you more than these. So this is not a strong-willed Peter, not the tough, rough and tumble guy, but more of a broken Peter. And then the second time, Jesus asks again, do you love me? This time the question is a little bit simpler. It's not, do you love me more than these? Just, do you love me? But this time, as with the previous time, Jesus uses the Greek word agapao for unconditional love. And Peter answers with the Greek word phileo for fond love. So Jesus says, do you agapao me? And he says, you know that I phileo you. You know that I'm fond of you. And so, like, what? Like, Peter, like, you just dropped the ball. Can you give Jesus a little bit more allegiance? A little bit more? Because agapao is so much stronger. But Peter says, no, I don't have the agapao love. I don't have the unconditional love I spoke of before. He will not pretend. If he had unconditional love, he would not have denied Jesus. So he knows that. The second time he says, I have the phileo love. The third time Jesus asks, do you love me? It looks like it's the same question, same answer, it looks like. But in the Greek, it's not. Again, Jesus changes the question. Jesus says, do you have phileo love for me? So Jesus from the agapao says, do you have the phileo, fond love for me? And Peter answers, you know everything. You know that I have the phileo, the fond love for you. So Jesus changes the question for Peter. He asks if Peter will give him the lower level of love. And why do you think he did that? Why do you think Jesus lowered the question from do you agapao me to do you phileo me? It's often been said that the difference between the army and Jesus is that the army won't enlist you unless you're healthy. Jesus won't enlist you unless you're sick. The difference between the army and Jesus is the army won't enlist you unless you're healthy. Jesus won't enlist you unless you're sick. Jesus is re-enlisting Peter, a man who's seen the cracks in the foundation of his love, of his allegiance, of his devotion to his Lord. And then he covers the cracks in Peter's love. He reinstates Peter just as Peter realizes he doesn't have the qualities that he thought he needed to enlist in the work of God. Just when he thinks that he's done and he doesn't have it, he's got it. And I told you, I have friends who have serious cracks in the foundation of their house, and they had to sell their house and they could because they couldn't afford to fix the cracks. And the crack in a foundation is a very serious thing. And you and I, we have cracks in the foundation of our allegiance to Jesus. And we couldn't afford to fix them. And we're in some ways in the same boat as Peter. And COVID-19 only exposes our cracks even more. And you know, we can only see more now just how we're looking out for our own, my own needs, my own health, my own suffering over the suffering of my neighbors, and my own devotion is to Christ isn't quite what I thought. I thought I trusted him, and then now I'm asking, why, God, would you do something? Why is this permitted? Why is this allowed? Something like COVID. There's cracks that I maybe didn't see before in my own walk. And how does God cover those cracks? And the Bible says that God made him who knew no sin. This was the song that Steve just sang. God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. So do you know, do you see those cracks that maybe you didn't see before in the foundation of your faith? And maybe even after this reinstatement of Peter with these three questions, there's still cracks. And so you kind of wonder, though, like, why did Jesus ask these questions of Peter? Do you love me? Like, why did he do it three times? And you know that when God asks you a question, when God asks me a question, he doesn't ask because he doesn't know the answer, right? So why does Jesus do this? He asks, do you love me? One commentator noted it must have been because this was the question that Peter's heart needed. And Peter's heart needed, he needed to make this profession, this weak profession, publicly. He needed to do this. And like, how about you right now? Like, what does your heart need? Jesus asks, do you love me? Jesus asks, do you love me? And what's your answer? What do you say right now? Jesus says, do you love me? Just, you know, you're right now looking at a screen, on your computer, maybe with family, maybe by yourself. Jesus asks, do you love me? And what's your answer? I think we historically at the Village have put some pressure on ourselves. And we have a mission to reach people for Jesus, bold vision, 3 new missional expressions in 5 years, all hands on deck. We're going to love Thorold. We're going to change Thorold. And yet here in this passage, we see it's not our work. It's not our agapo love. It's not our devotion. It's not that that's going to change Thorold and beyond. It's Jesus's agapo love. And it's God decided to show that to us. It's not that we showed that to him. It's not that Peter, arguably, you know, the most devoted disciple could even show agapo love. 1 John 4:10 says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and that he sent his son to serve as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In the end, Jesus tells us, if you keep reading in this chapter, that Peter will get what he wanted. He'll get to die for his Savior. That's what he said. You know, even if I'll deny you, I never will. You know, I'll lay down my life for you. Eventually, he'll get to do that. But the passage goes on, and it's so sweet. This is like the highlight for me of the whole passage. And I didn't read it here, but you can read it on your own at home. John 21. It's like I forget things, right? Like I'm a preacher. I talk a lot. I teach a lot, but then I forget. And I hate that there's these inconsistencies in my own life. Like I hate the cracks. I just want one pure flame for Jesus, right? And I don't have patience for these cracks. And I thought I maybe dealt with something 5 years ago, and then it comes back again. And so I don't like the cracks in my own faith and my own devotion to Jesus. So I look at Peter and I can see he doesn't like that in his own devotion to Jesus either. And so Jesus is finished dealing with with Peter's cracks, you know, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And you think, okay, now Peter's ready to go back at it. And Jesus is done dealing with Peter's cracks, and Peter gets to go and die for Jesus. And then Peter turns to his friend after this whole conversation, read John 21 at home, and he says, what about him? He points to John, another disciple, and says, what about him? What's going to happen to him? He wants to know how his friend is going to maybe show his devotion or not show his devotion to Jesus. And it's like, this is my own interpretation, okay? But it's like, if I were Jesus, I'd be like, do we need to go through this again? Like, do we need to do this whole thing again? Like Peter isn't living out what he's learned. Like, he's learned your love is enough. You can pour out your love at my feet, and my love for you is enough. And God's grace will cover, you know, the inconsistencies in your love. But right away, rather than just focusing on his own call, he's looking at someone else. But you know that God's grace will cover this in Peter as well. But this is the way the whole book of the Bible ends. But it ends with Peter being on a journey still. Like, he's still got a long way to go. And it comforts me to think that this whole process of holiness for Peter, like, that's it. It's a process of trust. And that even after this, he doesn't have it all figured out. And sometimes I think that I've learned to trust God, maybe in some special moment of prayer, maybe for you, maybe you listen to some great sermon. Yep, Jesus, I got it, right? And then you realize that you didn't. And it's as if the writer is saying, you know, Peter had his ideals, he had his drive, he'll get what he want, but he'll get what he wanted, like, he'll get to die for Jesus, but it's not going to be on his own strength, and it's not going to be right away. And so, like, maybe this is what Jesus is doing in you. He's inviting you to you and me, he's inviting us to a place of dependence, a place of trust that he's going to make us holy in his own time. And so I want to ask you I want to close the message with the same question that Jesus asked Peter. I want to ask you, do you love him? Do you love him? Do you trust him to do his work of refining you into a more devoted, more trusting, more rested disciple? Do you trust him to do that in his own time with you? Whether you see it or not right now, in the midst of the storm, the ice age, whatever you want to call it, of COVID, Jesus's resurrection life is being worked into you in the same way it's being worked into Peter. You see this kind of fearful guy, this brash guy, and then soon later, you know, he writes these books of the Bible that just have so much wisdom and so much beauty, right? So, you know, God took him there, but the resurrection life is working its way into Peter slowly, and it's doing the same thing is happening in you. Whether you can see it or not, whether it feels like you're taking four steps back from your discipleship journey, where you feel like you just took three steps forward. Let's pray. Dear God, this is what it all boils down to. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when we look at our love, we just see these cracks, though. And Jesus, help each person here to see that even the cracks in their faith, that they're a sign that you're doing some foundation work. You're exposing those cracks. And Jesus, as these cracks get exposed through COVID-19, we want to depend on you the way that Peter had to depend on you, the way that Peter had to depend on your agapao love that he himself couldn't give. We want to depend on that love, and we want to let it get in to all those cracked places. And we pray that that your love would just sink into each one of those places, and we want to be more holy. God, Peter went on to be such a wise, humble servant, and it took him going through this kind of dark place, and so, you know, Jeff talked about that dark place that he feels like he's been in. I feel like, you know, there's others of us who can feel that way right now, and God, we pray that you would show us that even in this dark place, you are there and you are working, and that you're working out a kind of resurrection life that we would never even believe were you to tell us, even right now. God, we thank you so much for the example of Peter, who offered you what he had, and how you used him in such a mighty, powerful, wonderful way. God, we pray right now, would you give us the grace to offer you the faith that we have, would you surprise us with your resurrection life? In the strong name of Christ, we pray. Amen.